Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Happy Thursday. Happy Bills game day. Big game in Houston tonight for the Buffalo Bills. Looking to get their first win in Houston since 2006. To take you back, quarterback was J.P. Lossman, and Lee Evans had two touchdown receptions that game. Since then, the Bills have been winless, including a Nathan Peterman special, where he threw not only the game-tying interception, but the interception that led to the game-winning I believe it. They walked it right in. It also included a playoff loss in Houston and obviously the game last year where time management was not the Bills' strong suit. So, hoping to get a win. The Texans are on their backup quarterback, right? C.J. Stroud will not start. So, that's been the case for the Texans the last few weeks. And hoping the Bills can continue the winning that started against Tampa Bay. But we'll wait and see. I got to be honest. I don't like Thursday night football games. I like Thursday night college games. Like, I love weeknight college football. But I think the NFL, and maybe I'm just, you know, not adjusting with the times. I think the NFL belongs on Sundays and Mondays. Obviously, on Thanksgiving. I love NFL on Thanksgiving. I like, you know, Saturday games at the end of the season. I think that's fun. But I just, like, I'm not in the mood for a football game right now. I'm really not. I mean, I will be by the time the game kicks off. In 7 hours, I'll be, you know, red in the face, ready to go. Like, come on, where's this game? But, you know, Thursday, got to work tomorrow. I got a long day tomorrow because, you know, then I got to get in my car and drive to Virginia. So, I don't know. This, to me, just I don't like the Thursday night game. I've never gotten into the Thursday night NFL game. I've been, right? I mean, this is not the Bills' first Thursday game. They played Miami on a Thursday, and you know, I took off the next day. My wife and I had fun at the game, took off the next day. You know, it was kind of the next day was my birthday. I didn't take off because it was my birthday. I took off because the Bills played the day before. We had that discussion already. I took off because it was the day before. I'm not one of these people, adults, that takes off their birthday. Regardless, by the time the game kicks off, and we'll talk about this at the end of the show, I want to get into something. There's a few things in the news that I guess I'm just in, and I hope you guys will add on. Yesterday was so much fun because I did half of a topic and you guys jumped on it and it made for a great show. You know, I try my best to make for a good show, but you, the listeners, you, the callers, make for a great show. And yesterday was an example of that. I mean, I still have the pages on parallel parking that I was going to tie in with the deer topic, but you guys lit up the phone lines right away and it was beautiful. It was a beautiful thing. And I'm hoping that we can recapture that magic today at 803-0930, star 930. I want to start right here in Erie County. Speaking of Erie County, Sean Lavin will be one of my guests on Hardline Sunday. We'll hear from Sean Lavin. We'll also hear from Dave Leventhal Sunday at 10 here on WBEN. But Erie County, and, you know, they're going through their budget debates now. I had asked for the comptroller to come on, but he is busy, and I understand. And maybe he'll be able to join us at a later date. Erie County right now, they're going through the debate for the budget. And we've heard the outline of the budget. We talked to the comptroller about the budget. It came up when Sheriff Garcia was talking to legislators. And this is when it helps to remember things that come up in an election, right? Because if you were following the Amherst election, which we spent some time on here on WBEN, you'll remember there's a golf course that the county paid a dollar for, but also was paying millions of dollars to, you know, to get back to being a golf course and all of that stuff. So remembering that, and now going to this budget, where Sheriff Garcia says, as he is talking about the need for the new holding center, Sheriff Garcia, quote, "We have a sergeant that goes around unplugging toilets all day. You know why? Because the Department of Public Works, Commissioner Bill Gary, great partner, they put in for a plumber, an electrician, and a welder, and got none of those jobs." He then goes on to say, imagine any other office here that has to unplug their own toilets. So the county says, sorry, Sheriff Garcia, sorry, Commissioner Geary, we don't have the money for a plumber for the holding center. We don't have money for an electrician. By the way, you might say, well, Joe, it's just a plumber. These maintenance issues that add up, there's a number of cells that aren't even in use in the downtown holding center, okay? So this is obviously Sheriff Garcia is trying to get the all-in-one holding center that the county has proposed. But if we just remember what we've learned in the last 2 months, so the county, let's all come together, let's put this all together. The county had money to put $6 million into rehabilitating a golf course in Amherst, okay? The county had enough money to fund 7 new jobs for said golf course in Amherst, right? So who's going to use that golf course? Mostly people in Amherst. Yes, there'll be people from Clarence that use it. It's right down the street. But let's be honest, people in Amherst are going to... So you have the job... You have the money to fully staff the golf course. You have the money to pay for the repairs that are needed to get that place going. But you don't have the money to fund a plumber for the holding center. I mean, seriously, could you imagine if, you know, someone told Mark Poloncarz, the county executive, sir, we have no plumber for your floor. They don't get a key card. So you're going to have to unclog your own toilets. I mean, he would never stand for that. And by the way, we might not agree politically. I wouldn't want to know my county executive, who, I mean, doesn't spend much time in the county to begin with, but I wouldn't want my county executive unclogging toilets. As much as he and I do not agree and see eye to eye on things, I would never want the county executive spending his time unclogging toilets on the floor of the Rath building, okay? So give me credit there, would you? But to not give the holding center these jobs and to think that that is a use for the member of the sheriff's department to be going around unclogging toilets while they're, you know, supposed to be guarding the holding center. You want to talk about priorities just out of line in Erie County. I mean, this is like, you know, and we're going to talk about this in the 2 o'clock hour. This is like you go buy the nice car, the nice house. Oh, look at this piece of property that's for sale. I want it now. But you don't have the money to buy a decent wardrobe, and that's why you go on a plane in your sweatpants. Right? This is the county buying the big flashy... Again, we all know why they bought it. They bought it because they didn't want Culpa to look bad so then Lavin could win. It was all a party thing. If there was a Republican as the supervisor of Amherst... Erie County never would have taken it over. I mean, come on. We're not idiots here, are we? Erie County would not have taken that golf course over if Brian Culpa was a Republican. Come on. So the county has money to save Culpa's reputation at Amherst and get Lavin elected. They have the money for that. They have the money to fully staff that property on Sheridan Road. But they don't have money for the simplest things like a plumber, an electrician, and a welder. They don't have money for simple things like repairing the issues in the cells that the sheriff's department can't use right now. Does that seem responsible? Is that a responsible use of the county's money? You know, I know this golf course was a campaign thing. And by the way, I think Dan Gagliardo should get a lot of credit for pointing it out, because this is the gift that keeps on giving. It is the thing that you are going to continue to pay for, taxpayers in Springville, taxpayers in Orchard Park, taxpayers in Cheektowaga. You are going to be continuing to pay for this golf course. 7 jobs. Now, I know this is a big price tag on this new holding center. And no, it's a lot of money. And there's members of the legislature that don't back it. The Erie County Comptroller, who I'm hoping to talk with after the 1:30 news, has his doubts about it. But what if we didn't? What if the county didn't waste the money? Because you know what? You're going to say, well, Joe, it's done. We can't live in a coulda, woulda, shoulda. I'd like to live in a coulda, woulda, shoulda. For just a second, can we live in the coulda, woulda, shoulda? And what if Erie County was responsible with their money? What if Erie County didn't have to put aside almost $7 million for a golf course they got for $1 in Amherst? What if they didn't have to fully staff that golf course and those salaries didn't have to be deducted? What happened to all the money? You know, we were supposed to all applaud the county executive for getting out of the stadium business. I thought that was going to save us so much money. Where's all this money from getting out of the stadium business? Because I'm still seeing a lot of shortfalls in the next budget. I'm still hearing of a lot of jobs that are being rejected, including almost everything Mickey Kearns asked for. You're telling me that's not political? We're getting out of the stadium business was supposed to save us financially, right? That was supposed to be the big thing. We were going to get us back on track. But now you're telling us that we don't have enough for the $7 million in plumbing, the $13 million. I understand it's a lot of money. You don't have enough money for a plumber? You don't have enough money for an electrician? For a welder? You don't have the money for the basic things of the holding center? So now someone whose job that's not? I mean, my gosh, you know, we pick up a lot of extra jobs now. I mean, if you have a job, you know, there's probably been more added to your title, right? As you go on, there's been more added to your title, and you're probably not making much more money for doing it. But has anyone in this audience that works in an office setting been asked to take on the role as plumber? Does that get passed around the office like the dealership at the poker table? All right, Tanner, you're the plumber this week. If anything goes wrong, Tanner is the one who fixes it. And then it's Joe, and then it's Puckett, and then it's Brayton. Could you imagine that? Like, does that seem... There's a lot of corners to cut. Plumber's not one of them. Now, when I worked in retail, yes, we were all the plumber. We all had to take turns cleaning the bathrooms. We were all the plumber. But at the county level, when we're spending money on just inane, meaningless crap, and that's no offense to all the golfers out there. I know you like to golf. I wish I could golf. I wish someone would ask me to go golfing, right? But again, this goes back to, is that the best use of the money? Is the best use of the money on a golf course in Amherst, or could that money have been used to make the proper repairs, or at least to pay the plumber at the holding center? And what about that money that we're saving from the stadium? Where's that money going? Why isn't that helping the holding center issue? It seems like this holding center fiasco is going to expose a lot of the issues in Erie County. And, you know, I'm not here to look for blame. I'm here to look for what's going to happen. And I want to hear someone say, you know, maybe. The election's over now, okay? The election's over. You don't have to worry. Your friends all won. Was the golf course a smart decision financially? That's the question I would love to hear answered from a Erie County Democrat who is not associated with Amherst. I'm looking at you, Tim Myers. Was the Amherst Golf Course a smart financial decision? Would anyone speak out against the county executive? And again, I'm on record. You can go get this message back to him. I don't want to see Mark Poloncarz having to unclog toilets. Okay? We might not agree. I don't want to see him unclogging toilets. I'd like him to do his job as county executive. I don't want him unclogging toilets. Okay? That's not what I'm advocating for. I want someone to tell me. Someone just to be honest. Was the Amherst Golf Course, with what we're now learning about the jobs that are getting turned down, we can't fulfill the empty jobs at the DMV? Is that good for Erie County? Is that good for you? Less people working at your DMV? Is that helpful to the taxpayer? We can't use, how many, 100 cells at the holding center? That might be an exaggerated number, but you get the point. Again, are these things that maybe should have been addressed before a golf course in Amherst? That's all I want to know. 803-0930, star 930. Your thoughts on this and your thoughts on the holding center. What should Erie County do about the holding center? You know, I had a great idea. Maybe Erie County, because, you know, Poloncarz and Hochul are so close. Maybe Erie County could use the other half of the Collins Correctional Facility that's going to be vacated, and the county could save some money. Wouldn't that be nice if the state relationship, because we know the state relationship between Sean Ryan and Hochul is not getting any money in the city of Buffalo. Well, that's been exposed. Hochul's not helping out Buffalo when it comes to financial issues. Maybe this relationship can finally gain as Erie County from it. And we could use, as the county, the other half of the Collins Correctional Facility and save a buck or two. I mean, maybe I should run for office. That sounds like a great idea, Joe. I know, Joe. Thank you. 803-0930, star 930. Your thoughts on the holding center. Your thoughts on the things that are rejected while other fluffy playthings go through. Again, we all need entertainment, right? We all, when we write our budget out, we all have the entertainment fund. We want to have fun. We want to be able to enjoy life. There's a lot of fluff expenses at the county level, okay? There's a lot of golf courses already at the county level. Maybe this was just a little irresponsible. Maybe this was Joe Beamer 2015 spending irresponsible. 803-0930, star 930. Back after this on WBEN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Know my love line. Another ball cap on a bar stool underneath the PBR line. Saying everything on the moon to get you into my arms tonight. You probably heard it all a thousand times, but it ain't what it looks like. Let me tell you what it looks like. Cause you look like waves on a sun.
crash on me all night. You look like wine in a truck, bet a little what I'm doing for the rest of my life. You look like I'm done looking, but girl, the hard truth is that this night don't turn into two. You look like I'm gonna wind up missing.
That's Tucker Wetmore.
Come on.
At the CMAs last night, he opened up for Thomas Rhett earlier this year at Darien Lake. Great performance. And he's opening for Hardy at Darien Lake, already announced in May. He's got one heck, I mean, he's already got a couple hits and one heck of a career ahead of him, it seems. 803-0930, star 930 to get you on the program. We're talking about irresponsible spending. Bum, bum, bum. And that's exactly what I think is going on at the county level with this mess about the holding center. And, you know, you've got the legislature, people in the legislature who they say, no, we can't spend this money. The comptroller, who might be joining us in a few minutes, also has his issues with it. According to the newsletter, Comptroller Kevin Hardwick urged legislators to reconsider any approval of the design study funding, pointing out that the impact of President Trump's One Big Beautiful Bill could present major hardships to the county next year. And this is what I'd like to ask the comptroller, because it always seems to come back to Trump with the county and the administration. What about the county's spending? Can we honestly say that the county has been wise in their spending? I mean, are we really going to point to, again, some of the jobs that were created in this budget, including 7 for a golf course in Amherst? Are we going to sit here? I mean, again, where's the money? I was told that one of the greatest things ever done was getting out of the stadium deal. I was told that, I mean, you won't even recognize Erie County. It's going to be like if a certain ACC school all of a sudden started spending more money and brought in one of the hottest coaches. That's what Erie County was going to be like. It was going to be such a turnaround. You're not going to imagine the recruits. But we're still having problems. And it's just funny how I can point to the irresponsible spending of Erie County. Yet, according to people in Erie County, it's just everything's Trump's fault. Like, how long is that excuse going to take? Trump's been president for 10 months. Erie County and the city of Buffalo have been a mess for as long as I can remember. Not everything can be Trump's fault. What about the money that the county got during COVID? Are we going to say that was responsibly spent? I mean, we've created jobs that I guarantee you I could get half of the legislature in here and no one could tell me what these approved jobs do, how they help out. Bloated government. The friends and family package. But no. We can't give Mickey Kearns any jobs. No jobs in the DMV for Mickey Kearns. Actually, only one job was created in Mickey Kearns' office, and that was Sandra Tan now has an office. In the clerk's office. It's the only job that was approved in the clerk's office was Sandra Tan from the Buffalo News. I don't know how you can like get in front of a camera and say, hey, we're doing great things. Our sheriff's officers are unclogging toilets in the holding center. It's mind-boggling. It really is mind-boggling. And again, what's it all come back to? Oh, it's Trump's fault. Of course. Why wouldn't it be Trump's fault? Of course it's Trump's fault. What do you think? 803-0930, star 930. Should the county go through with the renovated county jail? What do you think of my idea? I don't even know if it's doable. Like, I just said that because, you know, it's a building. But why? I mean, just use the half of Collins that's not being used. Maybe the state could help us out a little bit. You know, I mean, Kathy Hochul likes to run around bars with bubbles every time the Bills score a touchdown. You think she'd want to help Erie County and Buffalo, New York? It's again, to me, it's mind-boggling. I'd love to know what you think on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. I think that's a joke on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. To me, it's a no-brainer. I mean, we can't have a we can't let the holding centers go into further disrepair. Yeah, I mean, cuts will have to be made. Again, they don't have any problems cutting jobs from the clerk's office. They have no problem ignoring job requests from the Commissioner of Public Works. So you want to point to Trump? You want to blame Trump for everything? Is anyone going to speak up and say, maybe we could have spent our money a little wiser? I don't want to hear that, well, we can't live in the past. No, I'd like to for a second. Break it down for me exactly why this is such a big ask of the county. 803-0930, star 930. Again, maybe we'll talk to the comptroller in the coming minutes. Maybe not. Might have him on tomorrow if he doesn't want to join us. If he can't. Not that he doesn't want to. I'm sorry. That came out wrong. If he can't. He's a busy guy. Now, earlier today, David talked about getting dressed on an airplane. And I had a topic thought already. And for me, I think I'm going to put these two topics together. So Sean Duffy was on Fox Business talking about the civility in the air and bringing civility back. You know, we don't want people getting in fights. We don't need, you know, flight attendants being, you know, we don't need flight attendants being the in the line of danger. Right? It's not their fault you didn't get the seat you wanted or your flight's delayed. But it does bring back to a time where people dressed up to go on flights, where people dressed up to do everything. There was a time where people would dress up to go to hockey games, right? You watch old Hockey Night in Canada clips. I mean, everyone's in a suit, a top hat. People are dressed up. Now, and again, I'm an awful example of this because I'm wearing a Bills jersey and a hoodie to work, right? But it seems like people don't want to dress up for anything anymore. I mean, I was at Wegmans earlier today, and now, shout out to the older individuals out there because they seem to always be wearing something nice, right? A button-up shirt, maybe a nice sweater, right? But for the most part, I'm walking around Wegmans. You've got people in their pajamas. You know, in the summer, you might have people walking around Wegmans with nothing on, right? Very close to nothing on. And I think of, now, here's how I'm going to tie it in. I think of people my age who are so obsessed with how they're perceived, right? They want the big, beautiful house they probably can't afford. They want the expensive car with all the gadgets, with all the bells and whistles. They want to be able to show off. Those same people will go to the airport in sweatpants. Those same people will get on a plane with their feet exposed. Those same people will hop out of bed, not shower for 2 days, spray up with some cheap-smelling cologne, and go to the grocery store. And it's like, more people are going to see you in public. More people are going to see you walking around Wegmans. More people are going to see you on an airplane than see you at your beautiful souped-up house that you're struggling to afford. And I know people might listen, well, Joe, that's because you don't have a house and you rent. No. No, I just, I mean, you want, you care how you're perceived. You care how you present yourself. But then you again, you've got people that, I mean, the last flight I was on, and it was on a, it was not on one of the traditional airlines, I will give you that. But the flight back, I mean, the person, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be mean. The person next to me had not showered, I think, in the last, like, week. I mean, it was awful, right? It was, it just, to me, again, does it, how long does it take a 5-minute shower? But I want to know from you, 803-0930, star 930, when you look at what's actually important, like if you care how you are perceived, right? And maybe you want to impress people. From your time living on this earth, what have you found is more important? How you dress, how you present yourself out in public, or your nice house or nice car? Again, no one wants to live in a dump, right? Obviously. But what's more important? You know, growing up, my parents would say, you know, because I had, you know, we had friends that had these big, beautiful houses. My parents would say, well, would you rather have the big, beautiful house and go nowhere? Or, you know, we traveled a lot in the Beamer family growing up. We traveled a lot. Would you rather the big, beautiful house and stay home all day, all week and all summer? Or would you rather downsize? And again, I look at my parents' house now, I think it's huge. But when you're younger and your friends have these huge houses, and that was a great point. Like, yeah, I'd rather travel. And again, I'd rather experience life outside this home. But I just think people have it so backward. And I find that with people my age. It's all about how you're perceived. Like, I have the big, we have all this extra space. You do? Well, what do you need it for? Well, we have it just in case. I look at my wife and I's house. Guess what? Every room's used up. We have no extra space. And that's fine. But, I mean, do we need to get back? Does Sean Duffy have a point? Do we need to get back to dressing up when we go out? I don't mean all the time. I don't think you need to, you know, put on a 3-piece suit to go to McDonald's. But I mean, like, if you're going on an airplane, should we maybe have, should United put in a dress code, you at least have to have jeans on. Is that asking too much? Or if Wegman said, we're not shopping in our pajamas today. I saw today, no lie, I'm not just saying this because of the topic. I saw today a man that was very well dressed in a wheelchair. You know, and he was doing all the shopping himself. He asked me to reach for something on the shelf. The man was in a button-up shirt, a nice jacket, nice pants, really nice shoes. And he's in a wheelchair. Yet the person that walked by us was in the Old Navy pajama pattern that we all know. And then just like, I don't know. I mean, hey, I've gone out in public in some wacky stuff, right? Usually when I'm going to the gym, like I will wear sweatpants to the gym. And sweatpants at Wegmans, that's fine, right? It's the pajama thing. Like, because when you walk out in your pajamas, I just assume that you rolled out of bed, put on flip-flops, and got in your car. And it's like, I don't know. Could you at least pretend that you tried to, I don't know. 803-0930, star 930. Where is a place that you go to often that people used to dress up that don't dress up anymore? And that you think, you know what? It would just be nice. I mean, think about it. In 2025, there are people who might dress up 4 or 5 times a year, right? They work from home. No one ever sees them. I just think, like, I don't know. Everyone looks good dressed up. I don't know anyone who doesn't look good when they got a button up, when they're all presentable. Does that make sense? 803-0930, star 930. And what's the worst thing you've seen on an airplane? Now, we're talking about the civility. Now, I have to be honest. I have never seen anyone blow up. I have never seen anyone, you know, get so upset that they were taken off the plane. I haven't seen any of that. I've seen it on video because everyone has to pull out their phone and put it on social media. But I've never seen anyone get so upset where they blow up at the flight attendant or they're screaming on the way off the plane. Luckily, I've never seen that. But, you know, as I mentioned to Bowerly a few days ago, I mean, I was on a plane once where a dog from rows back ended up right on my lap. I love dogs. That was fine. But, you know, not everyone's going to love that situation. I was on a flight once where someone behind me, and I'm not making this up, someone behind me kicked off their flip-flops and put their feet, because I like to have a window seat because I like to kind of lay my head on the window, on the side of the plane. They put their disgusting, I'm not a foot guy, okay? I know there's people out there that like feet. I'm not judging. We love what you love. I'm not a foot guy, okay? We have our feet to walk. That's it. This person put their bare, disgusting foot up the side of the chair, like to where here's my, you know, my arm on the armrest and their foot. If the plane hit any turbulence, my elbow would be touching their bare foot. Like, really? I do think, you know, there's certain places where you cannot have exposed foot, right? When I was younger, I would wear flip-flops in the winter. I was crazy. It was stupid. And I would try to go to clubs on Chippewa in my flip-flops. And they had a rule, no exposed foot. If a bar on Chippewa could have a rule, no exposed toes, I think for flights, I think for flying, right, before we address the pajamas, the sweatpants, the not showering, I think we could all agree on no exposed feet on an airplane. What do you say? Because that happened probably a decade ago, flying to Las Vegas. It was a crazy flight. I flew from Buffalo to Charlotte to Vegas. I don't know why I went that way. Obviously, I was on American. I don't know why I took American and not, you know, Southwest in their direct flight, but I did. It was a long time ago. It's when I was working overnights at Bed Bath & Beyond, and I was Bowerly's producer. That's how long ago it was. But that sticks out. That flight sticks out. That person's foot right next to my elbow. Ooh. 803-0930, star 930. So, what is something that used to be a you dress up to go that's not a dress up to go anymore that, you know, I don't know, might be nice if people attempted? And what's the craziest thing you've seen on an airplane? 803-0930, star 930. When we come back, we'll take your calls. We also may be talking with Erie County Comptroller Kevin Hardwick on WBEN. Yes! Hour number two on this Thursday. Did you hear that podcast for How I Met Your Mother? You know, I love the show How I Met Your Mother. I mean, the theme song to this show is the beginning of the song that at the end is the theme song, right? They don't use the part for this show for How I Met Your Mother. But the end of the song that's my theme song is the How I Met Your Mother theme song. Anyway, love that show. Here's the thing. The ending of How I Met Your Mother is worse than the ending of Seinfeld. Everyone picks on the Seinfeld finale. Then you haven't seen How I Met Your Mother, the way that show ends. I like to think of the first eight seasons of How I Met Your Mother. And the ninth season, it was a failed attempt. 803-0930, star 930, we'll get you on the program. But we are joined by newly reelected Erie County Comptroller Kevin Hardwick. Kevin, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Joe.
Congratulations on your win. I have not been able to verbally tell you that.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You know, budget talks, and you and I have talked about the upcoming budget talks. Well, we're in them now. And a lot of focus on this Erie County, the jail, the holding centers. You've issued your guidance. What do you feel about the holding centers, and where do we stand on the holding centers?
Well, currently there's an item in the capital budget that would call for borrowing $20 million next year to do some design work on the latest plan for the jail. Now, that latest plan is probably, if we go and we implement it, it's probably going to cost close to $500 million. It started out at like $420 million, and then it went up to $430 million, and then $470 million. It doesn't include a lot of things, however, like demolition of the current holding center. Everything would be under this plan. Everything would be moved out to Alden and it would be combined. The holding center in downtown Buffalo would have to be demolished, and that probably would cost quite a bit because you're probably dealing with asbestos and all other sorts of things that would have to be mitigated. Regardless, call it $500 million. You know, that's what you're talking about. And I have asked the legislature to vote against the $20 million for the design work, because I think once you commit to $20 million, you're not going to throw that plan on the shelf. You're kind of tying yourself into the full $500 million, which is going to be problematic, or could be problematic. We don't know what the impact of the of all the federal changes are going to be next year. They may be significant for Erie County. They may not be. You know, there's a lot of imperfect information out there. A year from now, we'll have a much better idea. I think everybody agrees that the current situation is unsustainable. It's intolerable. We have to do something. But I'm not sure we have to spend $500 million. This is going to raise the annual debt service. That's the amount each year that we have to pay off the, if you will, the mortgage, the bond, for this facility. It would raise it by $25 to $30 million every year. That's money that won't be able to be used for roads and bridges and everything else. So I'm advising that maybe we should hold off, maybe look at some other approaches. The previous plan, you know, the consultant came back with a plan for $800 million, and the county executive and the sheriff said, no, that's too much. Go back, sharpen your pencil, maybe come up with something a little bit scaled down. And that's where they got this plan, which, again, I think it probably by the end of it's going to cost $500 million. I'm saying maybe we ask them to go back again and take another crack at it and do something that we can afford without having to exceed our tax cap and raise property taxes on the people of Erie County.
So if the $20 million isn't approved, does that pretty much put this project on hold as it stands?
I think it would, at least temporarily, unless the county legislature and the executive decided at some future point, and that future point could be a couple months down the road, to indeed go out and borrow that money to do the additional design work. You know, the $20 million we're talking about is in the capital program, which is in the budget that they'll be passing in early December. The capital program doesn't go into effect until the county legislature takes a separate vote on the bonding resolution. That would happen probably sometime in the spring. So on the one hand, whether it's in there or not, it doesn't matter, because the big thing is the bonding resolution, which they would vote on later in the year to talk about our capital borrowing for this year.
All right, Kevin. So, you know, the Buffalo News has a breakdown of the cost, because they have, you know, they have access right there to you guys. It sounds like $40 million would get all the issues all the issues solved at the downtown holding center. I mean, is there still an option where the county selects to just have the two separate holding centers because it's cost efficient?
Yeah, well, I think everything is on the table. I mean, ideally, you would like a new facility or a very well-renovated facility, because, again, everybody understands the situation is not good there. And, you know, it's not just a question of the inmates, although it's important that, you know, they have someplace that's safe and tolerable. But it's also corrections officers who are probably going to be there a lot more years than the inmates, or they certainly will be there a lot more years than the inmates. So that's important.
Now, I had this idea. Now, Kevin, I don't know if this is doable. You know me. I just throw ideas out there. We know the state is abandoning half of the Collins Correctional Facility. Do you think, because Kathy Hochul is such a fan of Western New York and Buffalo, that the county could use the other half of the Collins Correctional Facility?
Well, it's something that I actually asked a member of my staff yesterday. Now, look, you're not an expert in this. I'm not an expert. The sheriff and these consultants know a lot more. But these are questions that the lay people like you and like I, you know, need to ask. And it's something that is worth considering. My guess is the answer would come back that no, the new facility is really a lot better. And my feeling is that we're not going to get the best solution because we're not going to be able to afford it. We're going to have to make some compromises. So the question has to be, you know, is something like you're talking about, would that be, or other things, would they be better than what we have? And would they be tolerable as opposed to the intolerable situation we have now? The other thing that I suggested or I put out there, suggested in a letter that I sent to the legislature, is we might want to at least explore a more regional approach. You know, there are other counties who have the same problems that we do in housing inmates and people that they're detaining for trial. We may want to pursue a regional approach to this and see if there are other counties willing to go in with us on something. It's certainly something I think worth exploring.
Now, Kevin, I saw this today, and this has been bothering me since I read it. Sheriff Garcia says there's a sergeant that goes around unplugging toilets all day because Bill Geary put in for a plumber, an electrician, and a welder and got none of those jobs. Now, here I am. We just got out of an election year. The county is putting 7 new jobs at a golf course in Amherst, which they also put aside $6 million to revitalize. Does that seem a little irresponsible when the holding center can't even get a plumber?
Yeah, I read the same article that you're referring to, Joe, and that's the first I've heard of this. Not that I would be the first person to hear about this anyway, so I don't feel like I'm in a position to comment on that because I don't know what the situation is over there relative to the plumber.
But, I mean, let's be honest. We don't want to see, you know, Kevin Hardwick having to unclog the toilets on your floor of the Rath building.
No, we wouldn't want to see that.
Right. So,
but I this is the first I've heard about this today, and I think that you would probably want to talk to someone in Public Works and Buildings and Grounds and see what the situation is and whether the request was put in and where things stand. Again, I'm not the person to comment on that.
No, and I understand that. It seems like everything is, and I'm not saying from you, it just seems from the county level, everything as well, Trump this, Trump that. I'm saying, well, maybe we should have thought about this before we added jobs, you know, that's really only going to benefit the town of Amherst.
Yeah, you know what? And that's a consideration for the county legislature. They're currently looking at the budget. Maybe they will read the article. Maybe they will ask some questions and maybe something will be changed in the budget. I mean, nothing is cast in concrete until the legislature votes on this thing in early December. They just had their hearings last week. They're working on amendments, I'm sure. And that'll all come out the first week of December.
Is the holdings from what you have seen in the budget, is the holding center the biggest question mark in the 26 budget?
No, I think it depends on your perspective. Certainly for me, it was. I mean, I did a 14-page letter, or I sent a 14-page letter to the legislature outlining some things that I thought that they should look at. You know, our review of the budget, we do this every year. And the only thing that I actually came down firmly on is deleting the $20 million from the capital budget for the design work on the new facility. I said we should wait a year on that. Everything else, it was just like, hey, you should be aware of this expenditure. You know, there are new jobs over here, as you said, for the park and things like that. Those are in the budget, but I'm not making a recommendation on that. I'm just drawing it to their attention. The only thing I felt strongly enough about was this $20 million.
Now, you and I talked about this last time you were on the show, but the stadium. Now, the county is completely out of the stadium after, I think, May of the upcoming year. What kind of surplus, not having to worry about that stadium, will the county start seeing in the coming years?
Well, we were probably putting in upwards of $10 million a year into the stadium when all was said and done. However, you have to realize we anticipated that, and that's going to help pay for some of the debt service to the new stadium, because we still had to borrow $125 million to help us make up our $250 million obligation. That was our share, $250 million. $125 million was in cash. The other $125 million we bonded over a period of 25 years.
So we'll have to wait and see. But at the end of the day, you think that being out of the stadium is good for Erie County and for the next 30 years?
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about it. I mean, we're done. I mean, you know, our $250 million commitment was basically it. Now, there are some incidental costs there also, but you know, those were the big costs. And we no longer have to worry about, you know, liability. The current stadium, if someone, you know, if someone gets injured there, other than, I assume, on the field, but if someone gets injured in the stands, or there's, you know, that they sue the county. I mean, we're liable. They'll sue the Bills. They'll sue everybody in sight, and they'll sue the county. We no longer have to worry about the liability for that after this year.
And now, if Kevin Hardwick were making the final decision on KeyBank Center, would the county be completely out of KeyBank Center next time the contract's up?
Not unless the Sabres start winning again. I've got tickets to tomorrow night's game, so ask me after that.
Well, last night, I mean, come on, talk about they climb back, they tie the thing. Oh my gosh! Final question, Kevin, because I know it's busy and it's a Bills game day. You want to get everything done and get out of the office. We have a new mayor in Buffalo. We're going to have a new supervisor in Amherst, and you know, you hear rumblings. Are there some musical chairs taking place in the county with people going to certain offices?
Absolutely. I mean, I think you'll see that happen. You know, Sean Ryan has his transition team going. I'm sure there will be some people drawn from various parts of county government into city government. I shouldn't say I'm sure. I suspect that'll happen. Who that is, you know, I'm not going to say now. I'm not going to speculate, but it's oftentimes the case. You know, I'm sure Sean Ryan wants to put together the best team, and there are a lot of good people around who may be willing to move from county government or some other government to city government or from the private sector. So we'll have to see what happens.
Well, I told him, Sean Ryan and I, we don't really agree politically, but I told him if he needed someone on his Bring Back Thursday in the Square committee, I volunteer. I think I would be a great addition to that. And I that's one of very few things I agree with Sean Ryan. I think we should bring Thursday in the Square back downtown.
Absolutely. It would be great for everybody, wouldn't it?
It sure would be. All right, Kevin, I lied. This is my last question. We were talking about airplane. People used to dress up to get on the airplanes.
The answer, Joe, is church.
Church, okay.
Church, or the WBEN studios. People used to dress better, except for Bella Villa. He still wears a tie. You come in pajamas, for God's sake.
Whoa! I have never come into this place in pajamas.
No, I take it back, but it's always sweats and a ratty sweatshirt or something.
Yes, when you hosted Hardline, you and your guests were always dressed up. I should bring back that tradition of Hardline.
And hey, it's been a long time, but also Mets games. Remember the old newsreels from back in the 50s and the 60s, and people actually wore ties and jackets, and you know, it was amazing to go to sporting events.
It's funny because you think about when they were playing in the old Giant Stadium, and what was it called where the New York Giants used to play? Polo Grounds. And you know, you see people, they're all dressed up. Yep. They're also all smoking cigarettes too. I mean, let's bring back getting dressed up and smoking in the stands.
And men wearing hats.
Yes. I mean, I don't know.
Other than baseball caps.
I don't know how I look in a top hat, but we'll have to see. Kevin, what's your prediction for the game tonight?
I think we're going to win. We got to win, right? I'm still hoping that we can overtake the Patriots. They got to lose sometime. They're going to slip up, right?
See, that's what I told Bella Villa. I said I know they have an easy schedule, but we just have to win out, and we have to beat the Patriots. And then Baltimore all of a sudden is playing great again. They play Baltimore the week after they play us. I think it works out perfectly.
I hope so. I hope so.
I hope so, too. Hey, Kevin, I appreciate you joining me on such short notice. Congratulations again, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
That is Erie County Comptroller Kevin Hardwick talking about the budget and also what we were talking about at the end of the last segment, where people used to dress up that they don't anymore. And he's right. Church. My gosh, my parents used to make us, you know, get in the nicest clothes we had. We had to be all dressed up before we were out the door for Sunday school. But, you know, I see that both ways. It's like, yeah, people used to dress up for church. I just want people to go to church, right? I mean, you don't want to get too dress codey at church because you don't want to kick people. You know what? You want people to be there. Like, you want people to be there and receive the message. Brenda has been so patient on hold. We are going to take Brenda into the news. Brenda, what's your thoughts on where people used to dress up and don't anymore?
Well, I'm a 50s boomer, so we used to dress up even to go downtown or on those main streets, Broadway on to Sadler's and the main streets downtown. We couldn't go down there with pajamas on or even anything like a head, one of those shower caps and things on our hair. We had to dress as though we were, you know, going to church and I'm still an avid dresser for church myself because I believe, you know, I'm going to, as a person that's coming off the street and comes in is accepted, even though that as to come as you are. But as you go to church, you learn the norms of church and you learn, it's things that you pick up and you learn. And then, I go to some churches now. I haven't seen so much skin. I see more skin than you see in a porno because people be wearing those. And they're at church. And there's some churches, the churches that you that are denominations that you know at one time were fully covered. And then they come in there. The younger kids are coming in there. You see stomachs and everything. It's just really, you know, it's really just something. But I was going to, like I told the screener, I went to a couple of plays downtown and I was known, you know, about dressing up. I dressed up, but then I was with a group of people they would look like they came just off the street. They weren't dressed and I felt so overdressed. So the next time I went, I kind of dressed down a bit. Not too far down, but I just dressed down. And one of my girlfriends from Niagara Falls, Marsha McWilson, who's a singer, she came in and she was all dressed in her bling bling, her purple. And she said, where's your stuff? Where's everybody's bling bling? We're supposed to be this. And I told her, I said, the last time I came with them, I felt so overdressed. I said, I just dressed this way. And she said, girl, don't let them people change you. And ever since then, I thought about what she said. I said, yeah, I don't have to dress like I now wear my bling bling. I go downtown like I'm supposed to, like my mom taught me how to do is to go downtown and how to dress. And I continue to wear whatever I can when I know I'm going to meet people, interviews, you dress, people, business things, you dress. I feel that we should be dressed to fit the occasion and things like that. I don't wear no pajamas outside. I don't know where that even came from. So
I hear you.
I wanted to say about just give you a small story about an airport. The airport. I remember it was Christmas Eve. We were at the airport. We were going to Charlotte, my sister and I, and it was storms going on. So we were all, our planes were delayed. There was a woman in the airport, had a dog. She, one of them health dogs. I remember her dog urinated on the rug at the Buffalo airport. Now that was number one. Ooh. Now I know probably had to go to the bathroom, but it was just like one of those. We get on the plane. We're supposed to, we get to Atlanta because we have to meet a connection flight to Charlotte. So we're all running late. Everybody on the plane. The pilot got us to the Atlanta airport. We're taxiing, going to our door. She gets up. We're all supposed to be seated and belted. She gets up, reaches and gets her suitcase in the overhead above a child who is asleep and has his neck like hanging out a little bit, head hanging out a little bit in the aisle, and the neck is on the arm part. And I'm looking, I'm saying, boy, I said, she opened it up. That could have fell out and hit that kid and dangerously damaged that kid. Do you know that pilot stopped that plane right there? We were just minutes away from the door, and we were worried about our flight. He said, I'm stopping. You put that suitcase back. I will not move another foot until you put it back. She didn't do it. So the steward came, and he started talking to her. She's arguing with him, talking about she's missing her flight. And I'm saying to myself, we are.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
I'm missing a flight. And I said, she's missing her flight because she... It's because of her. She's making herself miss the flight. I started to say something, but I kept my mouth shut. I'm a teacher, so I kept my mouth shut. But she argued with him until finally she put that thing back up in that thing and closed that door. Because I was saying to myself, if she's in that big of a hurry, she can go on ahead of me. But then she finally did it, and he taxied us right to the thing. But it was so ironic. But it was so funny because I said, she was the one holding herself up. And I said, and that pilot said he was adamant. He was not taking another step. And we were already on the ground.
Yeah, the pilot should have made her sit in her chair and let everyone else get out for doing that. Brenda, appreciate the call as always. Brenda in East Buffalo. We are late for break. Tom Puckett here with the news. News Radio 930 WBEN. Bills game day. Pre-game started on GR about 10 hours ago. kickoff 8:15 over on WGR. It's also on Amazon Prime or on Channel 7 locally. So if you listen to the music bump there, there's a bit of an internal debate going on here at the station when it comes to classic rock. Okay, so I consider the music I play. I play two types of music, I think. Sometimes we'll throw, like, you know, an old rap song. But for the most part, I play a lot of country bumps and I play a lot of classic rock bumps. That song we just played, I would consider that classic rock. Some people think that classic rock doesn't change, right? And that classic rock is from mid-60s to like mid-80s. And that will always be classic rock. That doesn't make any sense. Right? Am I wrong? Like, wouldn't Blink 182 in 2025 be classic rock? Wouldn't Harvey Danger in 2025 be classic rock? Right? Green Day in 2025, Basket Case from Green Day, that song's 30 years old. So does classic rock, that song that I just played is over 20 years old. Would that not count as classic rock? I guess it's up for interpretation. That's a genre that you have a lot of people who don't want to let go, right? Classic rock is Lynyrd Skynyrd. It's Led Zeppelin. It's, you know, maybe early Rush, okay? And then what's 90s rock? Well, 90s rock is just rock. It's alt rock. Well, no. Time changes. I would say Led Zeppelin is knocking on the door of being an oldie, right? And your classic rock is, you know, late 70s, 80s. And I'm sorry to say it, 90s. Like, you know, Len, that's a classic rock song, right? What's the song I'm thinking of? There's Lit. My car is in the front yard. But then there's Len. And I can't. I'm not going to waste my time thinking about what song I'm trying to think of. But that's a debate going on right now. I think classic rock changes, right? And like if I programmed a classic rock station, there would be certain songs that eventually, I'm sorry, we have to say goodbye to. The Beatles are oldies. The Beatles are not classic rock. The Beatles are oldies. The Rolling Stones, sorry to say it, most of the Rolling Stones catalog has moved into oldies, right? You could Start Me Up, which is my least favorite Rolling Stones song. I hate that song. Start Me Up, okay, that's still classic rock, right? That got the end of the 70s, early 80s. But you know, I think the 60s, the Beatles and the Beach Boys should be on the same radio station. 803-0930, Star 930. We were talking about dress codes before the comptroller called in. Juanita's in Tonawanda. Juanita, good afternoon.
Hi, Beamer. Hi. Yes, I was telling your screener that I used to volunteer at one of the big hospitals downtown that's a specialty hospital. But I used to volunteer on the patient floor, and also I used to volunteer in the waiting room for the surgical patients while the families were waiting and so on. Well, people would come in very strangely dressed, not appropriate, cut-off shorts, guys and girls. But mostly you would see the guys come in inappropriate T-shirts. Maybe financially they couldn't afford a proper shirt, but I would think you could wear a colored shirt that looked appropriate. And, you know, the doctors would come in, they look at them, and they probably wonder, why are you dressed like this? So it really wasn't appropriate to come into a hospital looking like you were on the beach or something. So that's my thought.
Well, I mean, yeah, now you go to the hospital, you know, like you said, people will be wearing their pajamas right into the hospital.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Right, yeah. Right, yeah. So that was just a thought. And I see that, you know, a lot of times when you go and visit into facilities like that, and it just doesn't look business-like, or does it look appropriate? It looks like that you don't care about the person that you're there for that is sick. You know, have some respect for what's going on, you know. So.
Yeah. I you know, I mean, when you're going to visit somebody, for the most part, right, you want to look presentable.
Exactly. That's right. So that's the reason I called in.
Hey, Juanita, appreciate the call. It's funny. You used to also be able to smoke in hospitals. You know, talking about smoking at the football and baseball games. You used to be able to smoke in hospitals. How do I know this? I watch a lot of Columbo. And there's an episode where Columbo walks in to get the scan of the wife of the man who was murdered. And he's got the cigar in one hand. And he goes, with LAPD, how's she looking, Doc? Now, again, there's exceptions to that, right? Like if we go to my in-laws for dinner or to my parents for dinner, like on a Saturday or Sunday night, we usually go in, you know, comfy clothes, right? But if I were to go to Tanner's house for dinner, if he invited me, yeah, I think I'd at least wear jeans, right? Nice shirt. A lot of people have gotten, and like I said, I think we can dress one thing at a time. One thing at a time. Hospitals are another place that you should not have exposed toes, right? Airplanes, hospitals, let's have full enclosed shoes on, right? Now, that's the one thing on the airplane that I just, And I love flip-flops. Ask anyone who works here. I mean, in the summer, I'm flip-flops all day. I'm all about dressing down in the summer. No flip-flops on the airplane. Like, that's where I draw the line. And, you know, I think for me, I don't want my bare foot touching the floor of the plane. I don't want your bare foot touching me. Right? Before we get out of here, it's something I wanted to get into. We didn't get there. Maybe we'll get... So this morning, I had a very interesting discussion with my wife. She has no idea I'm about to bring this up. She might not even be listening. She has to work. You know, she has a job. And, you know, our precious Tucker is no longer with us. A few weeks now. And it feels empty, right? It's just the three of us. It used to be four. Miss Tucker a lot. You know, we and this is on us. We left his food and water dish out like a week past his passing. And then finally said, "We, you know, this water's getting cloudy. We gotta get rid of the dog dish." but we're talking, you know, about eventually getting a new dog. My wife is anti-mutts. Now, I grew up with a mutt, right? Gretel was a mix dog, beautiful dog. Loved that dog. My parents had a mutt after that. They also had a purebred, but they didn't get it because it was a purebred. They got it because it was about to be put down, and they saved it. But my wife, I'm like, yeah, I think we could look at, you know, adoption, see? And she goes, oh, no, we're not having a mutt. And I go, I mean, I guess that's just the difference of growing up. She grew up in Clarence. I guess no mutts in Clarence. I grew up in Amherst, you know, the rough and tough streets of Amherst. We're all four mutts. And I don't get it. Like a beautiful dog is a beautiful dog. I didn't know there was such a anti. I think this goes back to what I talked about in the first segment. Now, my wife does not wear sweatpants on airplanes, but this does go back to people like, well, I need a purebred dog. You know, you want to show off your purebred dog to everybody, but then you'll go on the airplane in flip flops and sweatpants. Or you'll go to Wegmans in your pajamas, but you want the purebred dog. There's great looking dogs, and our Tucker was a beautiful dog. My wife got Tucker long before I was in the picture, but Tucker was a great dog. But like I said, my childhood dog Gretel was a mutt. It's a beautiful dog. Are you going to tell me that your purebred that you pay thousands of dollars for is better looking than my Gretel? Because I'll show you pictures of Gretel. Gretel was a beautiful dog. I didn't know there was this anti-mutt thought out there. And now my wife has told me, she goes, we're not going to have a mutt in the house. Oh, well, I didn't know, living in Clarence, that we had to have a purebred dog. And that just sounds so, like, ritzy to me. Our dog must be purebred. That's just not, you know, not how I was raised. You want a dog? We'll see what's available. That was my parents' way of thinking. We'll see what's available. This beautiful mutt on the street in the cage for $10. Let's get her. She was a great dog. Lived 16 years. Great dog. Final call today from Tim in Orchard Park. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
Doing all right, Tim. You want to talk about where people don't dress up anymore?
Excuse me. Yeah, but quickly, I just lost my dog after 15 years.
And so I'm sorry, Tim.
It's worse than losing a human. Yeah, so it's bad. Anyways, yeah, so talking about, you know, I'm talking about funerals and weddings. And I don't know if that already came up already or not. So,
it has not. That is exactly what I'm looking for, Tim.
Yeah. So in my past life, I'm retired 2 years. In my past life, I used to go to Costa Rica a lot. And I've stayed at hotels, you know, over the weekend and stuff like that. And I was amazed. And then they have weddings, obviously, at the hotels and stuff, you know. And I was amazed that everybody was dressed in the nines. It was, and funerals, too. I've been to a couple of funerals down there, and it's just incredible. So Costa Rica's like, you know, I'm 68, but 40 years ago, you know, they walk, the kids walk, the Catholic kids walk to school with plaid pants and plaid ties and plaid skirts. And the mothers are out there hanging clothes on the clothesline. Then I went to the, you know, when I went to the weddings and funerals, and I'm going, holy moly, this you don't see anybody in sneakers and sweatshirts and that kind of, which you see all the time now, which is crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and
it's funny.
So that's my point.
It's funny you say that, Tim, because you know I'll help my my brother-in-law out with his photo booth company. And there'll be these beautiful weddings that, you know, people paid tens of thousands of dollars. And then there's someone dressed up in cargo shorts and a polo. you stick out like a sore thumb.
They think it's Halloween.
Yeah. No. But, you know, Tim, something else you mentioned in there. People, you know, kids used to dress up to go to school. I mean, you go to school now. You think walking through Wegmans in the morning is bad. I mean, almost every student's in their PJs.
Yeah. Yeah, I went to a Catholic school in West Seneca, and you had to go buy the sample company. This is way before your time, and you had to buy the clothes to wear every week. You know, the brown pants and the white shirt and the plaid tie, and the girls had the plaid skirts on, and you know, it was just a total different world. Yep. Than it is now. It's just crazy.
Yeah. Hey, Tim, appreciate the call, man. Tim in Orchard, sorry, man, we're up against the clock. Tim in Orchard Park. One other thing, someone said, Joe, don't slam Clarence. Guys, it was a joke. I love Clarence. I live in Clarence. It's just, you know, that's just my this morning. I was taken aback. I was like, oh my gosh. I can't believe I married this woman. She doesn't want a mutt. She's like, oh, it's, you know, it's gotta be purebred. It's like, have you seen the cost of these purebred dogs? And I will argue, as much as I love Tucker and miss Tucker every day, my childhood dog Gretel was just as good, if not better behaved than Tucker. And Tucker, you know, and Gretel was a mutt. Lived 16 years, healthy dog. These purebreds, they have their problems, their issues. And, you know, again, I love all dogs. I'm just saying, don't discriminate. Mutts and purebreds, they all need a place to live. Coming up next, it is Tom Bowerly. He'll be with you on this ride for the next 3 hours, and then Tom Puckett will take over things and with his Buffalo Evening News. Bills, Texans tonight, as I started off the show saying, I don't like Thursday night NFL games. You know, when they're home, I'll go, obviously, and I'll get psyched up for the game before they kick off tonight, but NFL football is Sundays and Mondays, right? College is Thursdays and Saturdays. You know, I got mad at college when they took over Fridays because Fridays are for high school. And I'm mad at the NFL for taking over Thursdays. Thursdays used to be the spotlight, you know, a spotlight college game, either in the ACC, the Big East back in the day, the Big 12, the SEC, they're too good to be on Thursdays. But it used to be a spotlight college game. Now, like, you know, you look tonight, it's the Sun Belt. No offense to the Sun Belt. But it's been taken away, and I don't know. We're 5 hours from game time, and it doesn't feel like a game day. I'm going through my weekday motions here, you know. But I'm sure by the time the game kicks off in 5 hours and 15 minutes, I'll be psyched. I think the Bills win by 2 touchdowns. They look good, but not great. I'm sure there'll be things that people will complain about tomorrow in this game. But they get the win, and that's all that matters is getting another win in the W column. And hoping for an upset of the Patriots somewhere down the road. Yeah, I think the Bills get a win tonight. And then you got 10 days until they play the Steelers on the 30th, the Sunday after Thanksgiving. So have a great Thursday evening. Enjoy the game. Go Bills. Bowerly is next right here on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.